Take your Bible this morning and turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96 is the text for our message this morning. We continue on with our series of But God, and this morning we find the word But the Lord in Psalm 96. We've called this month our Missions Emphasis Month. Next week we're talking about our Missions Weekend and thinking about giving to missions and getting missionaries around the world and getting the gospel to people around the world. And it's a time for us to evaluate where we are as a church and as individuals, and if we can do more to get the gospel to the world, both at home and away. Some people are new to missions and wonder what it's all about. Well, we'll look at that a little bit this morning, but essentially missions is getting the gospel to the world. The gospel, the word gospel means good news. The news about Jesus Christ's death and burial and resurrection for our sins is the gospel message in a nutshell, we might say. And so that's basically what missions is about. And some people may wonder why we bother with missions. Now, maybe not anyone in here particularly, but some people may say, why do you bother with missions? Why do you send people from here to go around to the other side of the world to tell people about Jesus Christ? Don't they have their own religions? Aren't they happy the way they are? Why disturb them and take them some new doctrines and some new gospel, a gospel message? Why not just leave them be? But we're going to look at that this morning. Some people may think, well, wouldn't the lives and expenses be better used elsewhere? And couldn't those people that are sent away just stay here and serve God here and so on? And some people may wonder those things about missions. Though this psalm was penned long before the advent of what we might say is modern missions, it is indeed a missions-minded psalm. It tells us to share the news about God with the heathen. It explains to us why we're to go to the ends of the earth with God's message. And it tells us the difference between our God, the God of the Bible, and the gods of the nations, or the gods of the heathen, the gods of those who know not the Lord. And so this morning, entitled the message, But God, a Testimony to the Need of Missions. But God, a Testimony to the Need of Missions. We'll read the scripture here, Psalm 96. Follow along while I read it. It says, Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him, all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for He cometh. For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth. The Bible says there that all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. But the Lord, or but God, a testimony to the need of missions. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, again, we are thankful that we can have Your word this morning before us. Thank You for the message of salvation that is to be proclaimed throughout the world. Thank You, Lord, that somebody shared it with us. Thank You that the gospel was brought to North America, to Canada, and thank You that desire that the gospel would be spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, I pray that we would see our need this morning in that process. I pray if there's anyone here who's never trusted the Lord as their Savior, that perhaps today would be the day when they would call upon You and be saved themselves. And Lord, for those of us who know You, I pray that today would be a day that we would realize what we can do to further the gospel at home and away. And Lord, that many would come to know You. For Lord, as we just read and as we'll see this morning, You are coming to judge this earth. Lord, every one of us will give account of ourselves to You one day. And Lord, there are many people, many, many people who are not ready for that. And Lord, I pray that we'd realize that missions is the message that helps them to be prepared for that. And so, Lord, speak to us, I pray, each one. And may we give attention to your Spirit through this message this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This Psalm 96 is believed to have been written by David. It doesn't say that at the beginning of the Psalm, as some of the other Psalms do. But if we would have time to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we'd find many of the same words, much of the same thought, and some of the exact same phrases mentioned there, which was written by David. It was a song written by David in thanksgiving to God. It was when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back to Jerusalem, and David wrote these words, and many of them the same words as we just read this morning. As a testimony, he gave that to Asaph, who was one of the song leaders of his day, and it was a joyous occasion to celebrate what God had done and to look forward to what God would continue to do. This morning, we begin by thinking about missions at home in verses 1 and 2. Missions at home. Missions begins at home. It speaks here of things being done from day to day. When you think about things being done from day to day, it's your regular day-to-day life. It's where you are. It's where you're at. We'd say it's at home. He speaks of singing. Those songs that you hum and quietly sing, perhaps, to the Lord, not only bless your heart, but they are a testimony to those who hear. He says here, O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord, all the earth, sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Those songs, our mouths should be filled with songs of praise to God. He says in verse 2 then, bless His name, bless the name of the Lord. Bless can refer to praise or thanks. We ought to do that privately as our time spent with the Lord. We ought to praise God's name and bless His name. But also it's a public demonstration of what God has done for us in our life. And as we give testimony to the goodness of God in our regular lives, those around us will hear of God. Bless the Lord. We may say to somebody, maybe tomorrow on the job, somebody say, well, how was your weekend? Well, it was a great weekend. We really had a great time in church. God really spoke to my heart through the message, and that would be a testimony. It would be showing forth in our daily life and those people that are around about us what God is doing in our life. We shouldn't shy away from giving God the credit for what He's done in our life. Sometimes people say, boy, you were lucky when that happened. You were lucky that that money came in then. Or you were lucky that you didn't get hit or that accident wasn't any worse. And you know, we ought not to fear and shy away from saying, well, I wasn't lucky. God was watching out for me and God blessed me and God protected me and God provided for me. And that's a testimony. That's missions at home. It's showing this world that God is real and that God is active in our life. It says here, particularly at the end of verse 2, show forth His salvation from day to day. We're to show forth God's salvation. If you know the Lord today, the Bible says that you are to show forth His salvation. You're to let others know about it. You're to tell about it, talk about it, demonstrate that salvation to the people that you rub shoulders with day by day with your life. And Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, in some ways is a bit of a theme for our church because we're called Beacon Baptist Church. A beacon is a lighthouse. A beacon shines a light forth. And Jesus says in those verses that we are like a light that is set on a hill, a candle on a candlestick, and we're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's showing forth the salvation that God has, the change that God has made in our life, and His salvation that is done in our hearts and has made a change in our life. It says in 1 Chronicles 16:9, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Show forth His salvation from day to day by talking of all His wondrous works. We think of missions, we sometimes think of far away, but our first mission field is right here. It's right around us. It's our families, our community, our co-workers, our circle of influence, as it were. It's those people that are around us. That is our first mission field. We exhibit, show forth God's salvation by the change we exhibit in the way we live our life. If you're saved and you go about your life in a way that shows God has changed your life, you're showing forth His salvation. You're saying, I'm not doing the things I used to do because God has changed my life and He's made me different than I was before. It doesn't show much about God's salvation if a Christian lives just like the world, just like he did before. It doesn't show forth a salvation. But God says we are to show forth our salvation. We show it by the way we live our life, and we show it, of course, by the words we speak, our personal witness, by telling other people, the Lord saved me. The Lord's changed my life, and He can do the same for you. And sharing that gospel message, sharing that word of salvation, we witness to people, we tell them what God has done, we show forth His salvation. We're to do that from day to day. That means tomorrow and the next day and the next day and just in your average day-to-day life. By our distribution of gospel literature, we show forth God's salvation from day to day. Yesterday we went out, and a few of us went out, and we just put some tracts in people's mailbox. You say, well, nobody's here that came today that came as a result of that. So why did we bother? Because we know that we need to show forth God's salvation. That's one way we do it. It's not the only way. We as Christians ought to be ready to share wherever we go, and we may leave tracts and give people tracts as we go about our daily life. It's showing forth our salvation from day to day. That's missions at home. We show forth God's salvation from day to day by the programs we have at church. Why do we have Bible Club? So that we can bob for apples? No, so that we can share the message of God's salvation with them as we did on Tuesday night. And we can tell them that there's a God who loves them, a God who cares for them, and a God who will save them from their sin if they will just turn to Him. Why do we have teen time? Well, so the young people can have fun? Well, sure, that's part of it. But it's also as an outreach, an opportunity to invite others to come in. You say, we're going to open the Bible and preach to you when you come. A lot of young people go, thanks, I'll pass. Say, we're going to have a gym night. We're going to play some games. We're going to have some fun things. Okay, I'll come to that. While they're here, we say, well, while you're here, we're also going to take some time in the Word of God and tell you what God means to us and how God has changed us. We're showing forth God's salvation. And we come together this morning to worship God. And yes, we come to praise Him together as a group of people, but we also come to show forth His salvation. We invite others to come in that we may show forth those here of salvation, God's salvation. Sometimes I think we romanticize the thought of missions and think, boy, wouldn't it be something to go across the world and preach the gospel to people in primitive places they've never heard, and wow, that'd be exciting. And yes, it would be excitement to that, and praise God, some have been called to that and have been willing to go and do that. But the reality of it is that if we would not spend time sharing the gospel here, it's very doubtful that we would spread the gospel over there. See, missions begins at home. See, but it sounds more exciting to go to some place where there's maybe savages and we have to fear for our lives and we're going about, and that sounds exciting as a thrill, as an adventure. But those people don't need the gospel any more than the people here. And the people here don't need the gospel any more than the people there. We need to show forth God's salvation here. If we won't walk across the street to share the gospel, it's unlikely that we'll travel across the seas to do it. And so missions begins at home. People near us need the Lord, just like people far away. Show forth His salvation from day to day. But then verses 3 and 4 say that we should go abroad, missions afar, missions further away. It says, declare His glory. The glory speaks of splendor. You know that God is a great God? His splendor, His glory needs to be shared with other people. They need to hear about our God, because He is a great God. It's a joyful thing. You read those verses 3 and 4. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. This is an exciting opportunity that we have to tell people about our God. He is a great God. His glory needs to be shared with other people. Declare it. It's news that's too good to keep to ourselves. And He says to tell the heathen in verse 3, declare His glory among the heathen. Who are the heathen? We think of the heathen as being those in foreign, faraway lands, perhaps people who live primitively or backward lives and speak another language that's different from ours and bow down to idols. We say, well, they're the heathen. They are the heathen that needs to have the gospel shared to them. The word heathen refers to a foreign nation. And I'm sure that as this psalm was penned, probably by David, and David being a Israelite, a Jew, I'm sure in his mind the heathen were the Gentiles. They were most of us. The Gentiles, we are the heathen. But the reality is that heathen can be both near or far. Really, the heathen is anyone who is a stranger to God's grace. Anyone who is not saved and worshiping God is really a heathen. I was once a heathen. See, I was from that backward primitive place called the United Kingdom. I'm a real heathen. But we were all heathens without Jesus Christ. We are heathens. We are strangers to the grace of God. Some do speak another language, yes. Some live very differently than we do, yes. But some look and act just like us and maybe even speak the same language as us, but they're heathen. The heathen need to hear the gospel, because he says in verse number 4, it's all people. He's to be told about, or the end of verse 3 rather, his wonders among all people. That means people in Canada, that means people in England, that means in people in Europe, that means people in Asia, that means in people in the southern hemisphere as well as the northern hemisphere, and in the east as well as the west. That's all people, that's everywhere. See, God isn't just concerned about the people within a certain geographical area. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19 that we were to go and teach all nations. All nations. What does all mean? That means all. It means every nation. Go and teach all nations. He said in Mark 16:15, he said it this way, go into all the world. Is that just part of the world? No, that's all the world. That's wherever people are. That's where people need to go to spread the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said it this way in Luke 24:47. He said, beginning at Jerusalem, and then throughout all nations, throughout all the world. It began at home, but it was to go throughout all the nations. We need to reach people who are easy to reach. But we need to reach people who are hard to reach. We need to reach people who are close by, but we need to reach people who are far, far away. See, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. If He wants a young English boy to get saved, He wants everyone to get saved. He wants all to come to Him and be saved. It's a wonderful thing to read that people from all nations and tongues and peoples will be gathered around the throne of God, because Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The word every is silent in those, but it means every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every nation. God cares about all nations, all people. He said, I want my salvation not only to be declared day to day where you are, but I want my salvation to be declared throughout the whole world. We look forward to next Saturday night and our international banquet, and that's a nice thing. But can you imagine that group of people gathered around the throne of God, and can you imagine the potential banquet that would be held there? When people of all nations from all around the world are gathered together around the throne of God. Why? Because they've been redeemed from all nations. That means somebody shared with them the gospel. They heard about the Lord and they were saved and they came to know Him. God says, declare to all people my glory, my wonders. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For it to be a reality that people from all those countries, all those nations to be around the throne of God, that means all people from all those places need to be reached with the gospel. How is that going to happen? We cannot reach them all personally. There are too many. We must send ambassadors to go to those places in our stead. What do we call them? We call them missionaries. We say, we can't go there, but so-and-so, God has called them to go, and we want to get behind them. We will send them money, we will give them our prayers, we will support them as they go to a place where we cannot go to fulfill what God wants done by us all. And so we send people. God calls some to go, and others He calls to send those who are gone. We send them with our prayers, and we send them with our finances. You see, missions is at home, and missions is also abroad. But what is behind missions? What is the aspiration? What is the reason that we have missions? Well, in the rest of this psalm here, we see the reason that God's word needs to be proclaimed, that we need to tell people at near and afar about Him. We see in verse number 5 that God is different. Here's where our "but the Lord" statement is made. It says, "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." All the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Why disturb people? Aren't they happy where they are? No, they need to be know about the Lord who made the heavens. They're worshiping idols, but they need to know about the true God. Our God is not the same as their God. Some people think because there's only one God, it doesn't really matter what we call Him or how we worship Him, and we should just leave those people in those other places alone and let them worship how they want to worship, because ultimately there's only one God, so they must be worshiping Him. No, my Bible says here that there are gods that are worshiped by other people, but they're just idols. But people need to know about the true God that made the heavens. They need to be told that our God is different. There are other deities that are worshipped. Some religions have literally millions of deities. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, "As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in Him, the one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." There are gods many. There are lords many. But they're just idols. But our God made the heavens. That's why we have mission. We need to tell them about the true God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He is to be feared, the Bible says here. Our God is to be feared. People need to know that our God is different. He is worthy of worship. In verses 6 to 9, we read those verses that honor and majesty are before Him. Give unto the Lord honor. Give unto Him glory. Give unto Him strength. Give unto Him, bring an offering. God is worthy of worship. Part of missions is to tell people who God is so that they can worship Him. Remember in Acts chapter 17, Paul was in Athens, and it's a very superstitious place, and they had idols on Mars Hill. They had all kinds of idols, and he said to them, he said, "I noticed as I passed by that you have one altar that's there, and it's inscribed to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him I declare unto you." And he told them that that unknown God, the one that they didn't know, was actually the true God. He was the Creator, and He was the one who had given Himself for their salvation. And many of them got saved. They turned to the Lord that day because Paul declared to them who was the one, who was the one to be worshipped. As the Creator, He deserves praise from all His creation and all ends of the earth. It's sad, but true. Romans chapter 1 verse 25 tells us that people have become to worship the creature more than the Creator. And there are places that worship animals. And they worship some particular animal and they say, "Well, this animal, I'm going to bow down to this animal." But no, that's the creation. Don't worship the creation. Worship the Creator, the one who made that animal. Why set aside a day every week to worship? Because God is worthy of honor and glory. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. We see in these verses here in Isaiah 44 the nonsensical situation of people worshiping idols and how they need to know about the true God. In Isaiah 44, it says in verse 9, "They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and all the workmen, they are of men, that let them be gathered together, let them stand up, let them fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongues both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth, he drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule, he marketh it out with a line, he fitteth it with the planes, and he marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread. He maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, and with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, Look at this, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, I have also baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stalk of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, and he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, Is there not a lie in my right hand? What's the point here? He's saying, listen, it doesn't make sense. You cut a tree down, and a carpenter takes great skill to make it, form it into a god, and he worships it, and it's coated with gold and silver and so on, and all the work that goes into that, and yet with part of the same tree, he makes a fire to warm himself and makes a fire to cook himself, but he bows down to this part of the tree. God says, that makes no sense. Those people need to know because their eyes have been closed and they can't see. They don't understand. It doesn't make sense that they're worshiping a false god. They need to know about God. Missions. They need to hear about God. They need to know the one who has made them, not the thing that they make with their hands. And so he is to be worshipped. He is to be made known so that he can be worshipped. And we see in the end of the chapter that God is the judge. Now the reason for missions is to the fact that not only because God is different and because God is worthy of worship, but because God is the judge. You know that all people will one day give account to God. Every person will give account of himself to God. Every human being that's alive on planet Earth right now and has been since the creation, since the beginning, will one day stand before God and give account of their life and give account to themselves. See, the Bible says here that God is the King. The Bible says here that He is the Judge. People need to know that whether they acknowledge it or not now, God reigns, God rules, and that one day they will stand before Him as Judge. In many ways, it's going to be a wonderful day. That's what the psalmist here talks about. He talks about the joy. He talks about gladness and the woods rejoicing. And it's going to be an exciting time when God is ruling and reigning in righteousness. That's going to be great. There's also a very sobering side to it that we are going to give account of ourselves to Him. The day of God's judgment will be a very fearful day. To stand before Almighty God in all His glory and holiness. See, today people ignore God's existence, both here and abroad. They ignore God's existence and they go on living the way they live their life, the way they think they want to live their life. They think they're getting away with their sin because nothing happened. I did something wrong and I didn't have a bolt of lightning crack on my head. So I get away with it. Ecclesiastes says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. People say, I got away with it before. I'll get away with it again. But there's coming a judgment day, and people need to know about that. People mock the fact there's coming a judgment day. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that people will mock the impending judgment of God. Where's the promise of His coming? Oh, come on! Are you crazy? You think God's coming? What are you going to do? Walk around with a sandwich board saying the end is near? Oh, come on! Lighten up! And people will mock, and God said they will mock. But judgment day is coming. And by the way, did you know it's only delayed because God is merciful and He wants people to be saved? And people are laughing at judgment coming, and meanwhile God is saying, it is coming, but I'm going to give you another chance today to be saved. Will you be saved today? And they laugh in His face. But judgment is coming. And one day every one of us will give account of himself to God. And so it is, as it appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. If we must all give account of ourselves to God, then what does it behoove us to do? It behooves us to be ready. Amos says, prepare to meet thy God. How will we prepare? We need to be told that we need to prepare. That's what missions is all about. Jesus said, let not that day come upon you unawares. God has given us this book, the Bible. He said, I've given you my word. It tells you what's coming. Read it. Be ready. Proclaim it. He's told us that we fall short. He's told us we're already going to fail the exam. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's told us that the wages of sin is death. He said, you don't deserve to stand before me and survive that standing before me, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, in spite of your sin, you can be ready for that judgment day because Jesus took your place. That's what missions is all about. Telling people, listen, there's a day of judgment coming. You are not ready, but Jesus came so that you could be ready. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ was made sin for us so that we could be made righteous through Him. So we could stand before God when we have to stand before Him and say, Lord, I'm not worthy, but I'm coming through Jesus Christ and I'm ready. We can have the righteousness of Christ imputed to our account. That means placed to our account. It's like our account was in the red. It was bankrupt. We knew we were in big trouble. Then somebody came along and they just made a direct deposit to our account and say, here, take that. That's what Jesus did. That's what He did. That's what missions is all about. The judge is coming, but you can be ready through Jesus Christ. You're going to stand before Him one day. The Bible says that those who are in Christ are not condemned. Jesus said, He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You're not even at the judgment seat, but you're already condemned if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. But if you believe in Christ, your judgment is taken care of because Christ took it for you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 tells us. Today you can be forgiven of your sin and made ready for the day when you stand before the judge of the universe because you will stand before Him. You have the opportunity to be ready because you've been told, you've been warned. And I hope you've taken that warning that if you haven't, that you will do it today. Do not delay because we know not what tomorrow may bring forth. But if you know, don't you think it's fair that your neighbors know and your family knows and the people around the other side of the globe know too? That's what missions is all about. You say, I know, I'm saved, praise God. And God says, then you need to go to the heathen and tell the heathen, the Lord is coming. You can be ready if you receive Jesus Christ and believe upon Him. Missions is about letting the heathen, both far and near, know that there is a judge. It's about warning them so they can be ready like us. You see, it wouldn't be fair to know and not tell, would it? But that's what we do when we keep the gospel to ourselves. All the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. But the Lord is a testimony to the need of missions. How can I be involved? Well, first you need to be saved. First you need to realize that you are going to stand before the judge and you're going to give account of his life. If you do not receive Jesus Christ, you are not ready for that day. And no matter what you may think in your mind as to how it's going to play out, the Bible says every mouth, every tongue will be stopped and every mouth will be shut. You'll have nothing to say. Receive Jesus Christ today and be ready yourself. Don't continue in your sin. Don't think because you got away with it in the past and nothing happened that you're going to keep getting away with it. One day you will give account of your life to Christ. You'll stand before Him. You need to be ready. Christian, are you actively sharing the gospel here at home? Maybe God has called you to go abroad with the gospel. Or maybe He's just called you to be involved by sending others and helping them to get to where God has called them to, that the gospel may be reached around the world so that people from every kindred and every tongue and every nation and every people gathered around the throne singing glory to His name. Why? Because He shed His blood. He paid the price for them and they believed it. Are you saved today? But God is a testimony to the need of missions. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You again for this time and thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray You'd help us to realize where we fit into the message today. And Lord, if it be there's anyone here that's not saved, not received Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that today they would realize that one day they will stand before You and give account. And if, Lord, if they're not saved, they're not ready. Lord, they're condemned already if they've not believed in the name of Christ. But Lord, if they believe, they can be free from that condemnation. They can know that when they stand before You, though it will be a sobering day for all of us to stand before You, they know they can be ready. They'll know that they're ready because they have put on the righteousness of Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here without Christ, that today would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, I pray for those of us who know You that we'd be thankful today for that salvation, that we would rejoice, that we would have joy in our life and our hearts, thinking about the fact that one day You are going to rule and reign in righteousness. And Lord, we look forward to that day. And yet we also recognize it's a sobering day for those who know You not. And so I pray we'd be challenged today to determine to get the gospel to the people we can hear, and to help those who can get the gospel to those further afield. Lord, may You speak to us, I pray, each one, and that this would be a time of decision. Lord, it will be a time of decision, whether we make a decision consciously or not, because if we make a decision not to act, we've made a decision to. Lord, may it be a time of positive decision today when we would act upon that which You've spoken to our hearts about, we pray, in Jesus' name.